This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Will be a zippity doo dah day, let's hope. It's Friday the 10th of July. Do you believe that we're one-third of the way through the month of July for the year 2020? Here we go, above and away to renew you. Your body-mind-spirit connection is important, I think, when you're grasping for straws, as many of us are. The two main items on the bill of fare continue to be the virus and the Black Lives Matter movement. Hard to get away from all of that, so let's see what we can do to get caught up on some of these things in this hour of the DJV program. Doug, Steph, and Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan. Jennifer is off for the next couple of days. Summertime. When are you going, Victoria? Aren't you taking some time to go somewhere on a trip pretty quickly as well?
Mid-August.
As mindful as I am of everybody's schedule. Who's not here today?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, where is everybody? Yes, okay. All right. So, shall we start with the reopening guidelines as they relate to the virus, or shall we talk about things that have to do with the Confederacy and the Black Lives Matter? Which would you like to, or maybe we could talk about?
Well, the school openings is a big thing. Politics. Lots of stuff going on today. We've got lots of Supreme Court news. We've got some strange details in the Naya Rivera case. The CDC issued some school reopening guidelines. Pick your poison. There's a lot going on.
Well, the CDC says it won't revise. Most people have been talking about or have hopefully been aware of, especially if you're a child. Well, if you're a child. If you're the parent of a child, I'm not sure the kids give a darn. But the parents certainly do. And so the president has been putting pressure on various angles and various groups to make sure that school reopened in September. And the director of the CDC doesn't seem to think that that ought to take place. And I guess I'm wondering myself about why the schools are going to stay, why the unions are so opposed to opening with proper precautions. So what's your take on it, Victoria?
Well, I have a few friends who are teachers in New York City. So New York City is, you know, that's my home base, and that's kind of where, you know, my local news comes from, New York City. And so the CDC issued these guidelines about how to reopen the schools and send kids back. New York City, Bill de Blasio, probably the one thing that he's done that's good and smart is he went against those guidelines and against the Department of Education, saying that it's not going to be a reopening full-time. They're going to stagger how many kids are in school at once. So I think they're going to do 3 days in school and 2 days of home learning. So, and the teachers are going to also be on a staggered schedule so that it won't be a full-capacity reopening. And for New York City, which was hit the hardest in the country, that I think is a smart move. And my teacher friends who work in both public and private schools all seem to agree that that's the safest thing, and that's what they feel the most comfortable with. So in other parts of the country, depending on, you know, this is so different state by state. Every single state had a different experience or has had and is going through a different experience with this virus. So it really depends, and this is part of the problem. I know Trump wants everybody back to work because he wants to get reelected and blah, blah, blah. We all want the economy to get back to normal. We all want that. And so, but him, I don't think he takes into consideration, well, I don't think he ever really takes into consideration the advice that he's getting or is, you know, whatever the guidelines are that are issued by various groups.
What's the advice that does work? What is there?
I think exactly what New York is doing, and I'm not sure your daughter could speak to this as a professor in California. I think that what New York is doing is the right thing to do. I think having it be a staggered opening, and so it's not going to be full capacity, at least through the end of the year, so the kids aren't all together at once. I saw several doctors on different channels yesterday was flipping through the TV, and just several several doctors saying that they wouldn't even send their own kids back to school this fall. So there are a lot of different opinions.
Yeah, I think, and that's the problem. Their opinions and what are they based on is the question. You asked about my daughter. She's
epidemiologists saying, you know, that, well, if it's my kids, I'm going to keep them out. And one of my friends who works for a private school, they have about 400 kids normally in the school from kindergarten through eighth grade. It's a private school. And they lost, I think, a third of the students are not coming back. And so, you know, parents are scared.
Well, but that's the problem. It's all about fear. When do we stop making fear-based decisions? They seem to be standing in the way, at least from what I can see. The uncertainty understood. Self-doubt, yep, people with foggy brains when it comes to this stuff. It's like an attack, a daily attack of the killer tomatoes or whatever it is. And the choices we make about our future and how we respond is going to, I think, portend whatever this country will be about in 10, 15, 20, 25 years. I think we're in a very precarious position right now in terms of our position as a country, the internal things that are going on, the external pressure, all of that stuff. This is a tough time. This year is a tough year. I have to say, it sounds almost pedantic for me to say that, but you asked about my daughter and her feelings, and she doesn't go along with what seems to be the mainstream here. She does not like the fact that the university is basically canceling much of whatever the lecture time would be. She understands and does agree with the large 150, 200, you know, these big lecture classes.
Mm-hmm, right.
They ought not to probably be in a confined hall. But when it comes to her own teaching, her own courses, the work that she does with writing and the language, those are things that are not well translated by a video camera or the methodology
we've
been using.
My friends who are teachers, they don't like it. They want to be in the classroom with the students.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's not ideal at all. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the
answer
is. And
my grandson and her son has gone back to school to renew his relationship with his friends and not to sort of face the fear down with masks and that sort of thing. And Miles at 5.5, he seems to completely get it. He knows he's supposed to not be hugging his classmates, his friends. So, you know, there's, I think, a way of teaching this. The responsible thing to do is to be a little more open-minded and to begin to think for ourselves more than listen to, you know, the guidelines from the CDC. There are plenty of times that they've not been correct, or many of these other groups. They are there for guidance. They are not there to have, or at least far as I'm concerned, or read it, to have the heavy arm of the law. This is what you will do, and this is how you will do it.
But I do think,
because
we,
as you said, most every state is different.
Every state is different, and I do think that the individual states and individual cities need to be making these decisions based on what's happening where they are. I don't think that this needs to be a Trump thing or a federal government thing.
No,
I think New York City is very different. New York City has always been really different from what's going on in upstate New York, and in New Jersey, North Jersey, which is very close to New York City, is very what happened there with the clusters and the huge numbers. It's very different than what's happening where I am at the Jersey Shore. So I think even county by county should be different. But I do think that caution needs to be taken. And they're doing more and more autopsies. They're reaching out to families of loved ones who have passed from suspicious, if they haven't been declared dead from COVID, they've passed under suspicious conditions. And doctors and morgues are reaching out now to families to do autopsies to see what this virus really does. And it's showing horrible damage to all vital organs, including brain damage. That's something that came out yesterday. A bunch of doctors have said, you know, this virus, even if you survive it, they're worried that people are left with permanent brain damage because of the inflammation.
Well, it's the degree. Not everybody who gets this, and that's what is tough in trying
now,
to translate all
this. Now, obviously, they're doing autopsies on
degrees.
People who died.
Yeah, but
so it's the worst cases.
Yeah, and they are the earlier cases, not the ones that now are grabbing hold of people, as most people who have been following this very closely like we have, it's our job to try to inform people as to what the reality is and to not send you over the bend. And it's very clear from any or all of, pretty much all the quote-unquote experts, that the virus has mutated a number of times. It's not as serious now as it was. And so, depending on the degree, again, what you were talking about, the brain damage thing, that's scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that...
Well, look, the mayor of Atlanta, I don't think we talked about it here, but the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, she and her husband both have the virus now. Her husband is very ill with it. He lost 20 pounds in a week, mm-hmm. and he's bedridden. She doesn't have any symptoms, but they both tested positive. My cousin is married to a wonderful guy we love, and his father just contracted it and was gone and just passed away yesterday morning from it. And he was older, but he had no prior health issues. And so, like, it's still killing people. And I think that's the message we, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand behind a message that, oh, the virus is mutated and it doesn't hurt anybody anymore, because that's not true.
I didn't say it doesn't hurt anybody anymore. I'm saying that because it has changed, there are different ways of looking at it or trying to understand it or trying to deal with it. And I think that's the bottom line. And for all of us to kind of go down that same street that we went down in March, at that point in time, we didn't know what we were dealing with. At least now we know a little bit more about what we're dealing with, and the brain business is part of it. Has to do with your chemical makeup, your body, the chemistry in your body, Victoria, my body, even though we are made up of the same things, the chemistry is different. That is how we react to things. Some people have a stronger immune system because of what they eat, the chemicals in the food. And some people have a better immune system because of their supplement routine. Some people because of their DNA, what they've inherited from their parents. All of these things are different with each one of us. And so this virus, as it gets into our body, reacts differently and attacks different things. Could attack your organs, could attack your lungs, could attack your brain. It's dangerous stuff, especially if we don't really know and there's no way of knowing how the chemistry is going to work. That's the other thing that kind of is helping to scare people, bringing us to our knees. Just exactly what the Chinese government wanted to do when they released this stuff. So we have it. We are trying to deal with it. We're not all in agreement about how to deal with it because there seems to be different information that impacts, for whatever the reason. We have different ways of dealing or finding. I don't know. It's very frustrating because I want to think we're on top of it. And yet we aren't. We are not on top of it. We are not in charge. The bugs are. And that's kind of what the takeaway has been
along. Well, that's what Dr. Fauci said from the beginning. The virus is going to dictate everything. This is not about us. We can't manipulate it. It's just the virus is going to do what it wants to do. It's a living, breathing thing. Yeah.
Dodgeball. Well, for those of you who are susceptible still to this, who are too heavy, the weight loss programs that are around, the people who are paying attention to the suggestions from many people in the medical community that if you have diabetes, you're overweight, you're really in jeopardy, why put yourself and or any member of your family in that jeopardy when you can lose weight the healthy way, the safe way, by using Calitrin? Calitrin is the weight loss formula that is stimulant-free, it is drug-free, it is free of any and all external impact. It was made in America by a doctor and three nurses. Came up with a formula. They bundled it all together. And, wow, if you look at some of the before and after pictures of people who have been motivated to try Calitrin by either listening to what I've had to say or others, you'll be amazed. You'll be pleased if you can tell your own story. And a lot of people are telling their own story. The weight loss management thing, there are pictures and stories at website, which is toploss.com. Go there, toploss.com, use the code DJV, no shipping charges, and you buy three, get three free. It's a BOGO deal. Now is the time to take action. Toploss.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Sounds like Lady A or Lady Antebellum. That's what they used to be called, but no longer. They have decided that they need to get rid of the shake, that reference to the Old South. So now Lady A, but not so fast, because there is a blues singer named Anita White, who is also known as Lady A. So this is kind of a weird thing. I think you and I were talking about this, Victoria, off the air yesterday, or maybe on the air. I don't remember. Sometimes the conversations blend. Lady A's been around for a long time, Lady A Anita White. And Lady Antebellum just became Lady A in the last couple of weeks. So Lady A, that is Lady Antebellum, is suing Lady A Anita White. And I'm not quite sure she's been using that moniker for a long time.
Yeah, but the problem is Lady Antebellum apparently trademarked Lady A years ago. It's kind of a weird case now, and I guess it's probably going to end up before a judge. So Lady Antebellum,
like $10 million?
That's what Anita White wanted. She apparently initially agreed that everything was fine, and then she lawyered up, and now naturally that's what happens. And then now her current lawyers are demanding $10 million in a payout to take over the moniker of Lady A.
She may have something. I've been involved in these sorts of things before, and it's usually first, even if you don't, if you haven't done, I sued some people because they were using the old name of this program as a Good Day Show, and I own the rights to that. To that moniker, if you will. I own Good Day, Good Day Show, Good Day, anything that has to do with Good Day on the radio, I own it. And Fox decided they were going to use it until they got a note from a lawyer suggesting that I owned it, and if they wanted to keep using it, they ought to pay up, and they changed the name of this morning program. So I get, and one of the things that was under consideration was how long had I been using it, and it was, decades. And
yeah.
So, but I also trademarked it, so it was easier.
Well, that's
the
thing. Lady Antebellum trademarked Lady A in 2011, so it's been 9 years that they've had it. However, Anita White is 61 years old. She's been performing under that nickname for years, way before 2011. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see where the trademark rights and where the case goes. I'm guessing it'll end up in some sort of a settlement. It won't be $10 million, maybe.
No.
But, because that's a pretty big number. But it might be something
I'm kind of disappointed in them because it sounds like they're just grabbing something rather than trying to settle it in a nice, positive way.
Well, they claim that they were, that they had reached an agreement with her until her lawyer stepped in and then said, oh, no, she didn't mean that, and now she wants $10 million. Right.
All right, well, as you said correctly, interesting to see how that shakes out. Next up, musically, at 26 after here on today's DJV program, Victoria and I and you have the focus on the dead. We now have an official podcast called The Good Old Grateful Deadcast. Hosted by Rich Mahan and Jesse Jarnow. The podcast was launched yesterday on the 25th anniversary of their final show with the original lineup that had Grace and Jerry Garcia. New episode every week. First 8 installments come in celebration of their anniversary, exploring the making of the Dead's Working Man Dead studio album. Co-producer Bob Matthews, Grateful Dead archivist David Lemieux, and songwriter Jim Lauderdale, famed Deadhead Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Walton. Wow, I've forgotten about him.
See him all the time in the hallways at Sirius. He's the nicest guy.
Is he?
Big, tall, hippie.
Oh, big guy. Oh, yeah.
Always in tie-dye.
Yeah.
Always true to just, who he was.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that he was a Basketball Hall of Famer until someone told me, though, that he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought he was a very tall hippie.
So there's the latest on the Dead for Deadheads. 28 after here on the... I don't know. We can't. We don't have deadheads here. We're all alive and well on the DJV show.
Some people are open to feedback. Others aren't. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Some people are eager to hear feedback. They thrive on it because they know that feedback is the only way for them to improve at what they're doing. Other people have a much more difficult time handling feedback. And that's mostly because they take feedback about their performance personally. Feedback about what you do, however, is not the same thing as feedback about who you are. And those who are the best at what they do truly understand that. Take the time to learn to separate who you are from what you do. And then, the next time someone offers you feedback about your performance, express appreciation to them for taking time to help you be better. Of course, you'll have to set your ego aside to do that, but that is definitely possible. To learn how to set your ego aside, visit drchristianconti.com.
It can be difficult to notice that your brain may not be functioning as well as it used to. The signs of aging can be subtle, but now it's easy to do something about it. Help your brain with Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says two Supreme Court rulings announced yesterday against him are based on an ongoing witch hunt and says they're part of a hoax. One case involved House subpoenas for the president's taxes and financial records, the Supreme Court kicking the case back to lower courts. The other ruling says New York investigators can seek his financial records in an ongoing investigation involving alleged hush money payments to a pair of women who claim to have had affairs with him before he was elected.
Obama and Biden and everybody else was spying on my campaign illegally. And it's a very grave crime. It's the biggest political crime in the history of our country.
Tennessee is saluting country music pioneer Charlie Daniels today. Flags are flying at half-staff in honor of Daniels, who died Monday. He was 83. And this is USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
A small study is now strengthening evidence that pregnant women infected with the coronavirus may be able to spread it to their fetus. Researchers in Italy said they've studied 311 women with COVID-19 who delivered babies in March and April. They found signs of the virus in several samples of umbilical cord blood, the placenta, and in one case, even breast milk. Now, women shouldn't panic. This doesn't mean there's viable virus in those places, and it's too early to make guidelines, according to Dr. Claudio Vinzia, the immunology specialist at the University of Milan. It will merit more studies, especially of women who are infected earlier in their pregnancies. California will become the first state to sue the Trump administration over guidelines issued this week that bar international students from remaining in the United States if they can take classes online. The lawsuit, which is expected to be filed in the Northern California U.S. District Court, seeks a preliminary injunction against the enforcement of the new visa policy. Under the directive, students on F1 and M1 visas must depart the country or take other measures, such as transferring to a school with an in-person instruction to remain in lawful status, according to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Those who violate the rules may face immigration consequences, including but not limited to the initiation of removal proceedings. The policy was announced as some colleges and universities are announcing plans to hold online-only courses this fall as the U.S. struggles to get past the coronavirus pandemic. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Four at the hour on the Friday DJV program. Doug Stefan and Victoria. Now, I don't. My allergies are not bothering me today, so I'm my
you do sound
my
better.
Tongue. My tongue is working faster than my brain, it would seem. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Victoria Keelan here with me on the DJV program. Jennifer's off next couple of days. We're trying to. I'm not going to say we. I know what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to instill this in my friends, my relatives, the old way of thinking, focusing on my individual impact. A lot of people, I don't know enough. You know, I can't make a difference. My vote doesn't count. You know, that we all know people like that. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps getting you to turn that focus around to renew and to refresh and maybe to have you understand that getting out of your comfort zone will help you learn and help you grow. And that's really what a lot of the stuff that we've got going on is, because people are so damn stuck in the way that they think that they don't want to change. That's a safety net for them. But yet change is part of everything in our bodies, our physical bodies, our mental, emotional bodies. We're changing. And either you kind of get all, you know, you make it work for you, or you go down the street. I make this quick reference to the mayor of Seoul, Korea, who apparently committed suicide after authorities figured there was something going on that was inappropriate. Now, you know, whatever that means, it's up to... But it's a different sort of culture in Asia than it is here in terms of one's honor. And that is, that goes back for centuries, if not, you know, more than that. Anyway, there's that. But it's about thinking. It's about where your head is. So, but then there are individual things going on. We've been talking the last couple of days about Naya Rivera, that kind of weird thing. What's new there? What happened to her son? That 4-year-old kid.
The little boy is okay, and that's good news. He is with his dad, her ex-husband, and so he seems fine. There are new pictures of the dad picking him up from Naya's sister's house yesterday, and so he's seen. There's a picture of him laughing. He seems to be okay. He's, you know, probably too young to really understand what's happening. Now, the search has changed. It's no longer a rescue operation. It's a recovery operation. She is presumed dead. This all took place at a lake in Southern California in Ventura County. She and her son, she, of course, was one of the stars of Glee. She played Santana. She and her 4-year-old son rented a pontoon boat on Lake Piru, or Piru. And they rented it around 1 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, the boat was overdue to be returned. And that was according to a rental employee who worked there at the site of the lake. This looks like, from pictures that I've seen, it's a pretty big lake. And the little boy was found asleep on the boat with his life jacket on. He told authorities that his mommy had gone into the water with him. He got back on the boat, and she never did. So that was pretty much the only information he was able to give. Her personal belongings were still on the boat. She had a Mercedes G-Wagon SUV that was parked in the lot. That was still there. Her belongings were in the car as well. And the strange thing about this lake, apparently, it's very treacherous. They said it had 5 to 9 inches of visibility. That is some murky, murky water.
If you've got
5 to 9 inches.
A lot of these California lakes, the inland lakes, have lots of undergrowth, if you will, been affected by oxidation, algae, things that make when you walk in it, your feet get black because of whatever is underneath there. And it kind of reminds you of a scary horror movie, you know, what happens in the
water. Lakes freak me out anyway, but this type of lake, where the boat was found, it was not anywhere near the shore. It was also
not anchored.
That's
why they use pontoon bait.
So it doesn't get caught on stuff, I'm guessing, right?
Right, because it doesn't take much.
Flat bottom?
It doesn't take much water.
So where the boat was, where she was presumed last seen by her son, the water is about 30 feet deep there. And exactly as you said, the sheriff said that there are lots of plants and trees under that water. They said, this is pretty grim, essentially the sheriff said if a body was to become entangled in something beneath the water, that it may never surface. They also said that it takes about 7 to 10 days for a body to float to the surface. So they have dive teams, they have sonar technology, they're using helicopters, all sorts of things they're implementing to try to recover recover her body. They have 100 people working on this at the moment from 3 different counties. So it's incredibly tragic. She apparently was not wearing. It's very sad. Yes, she was not wearing her life jacket. Her life jacket, which was given by the rental company, was still on the boat. But luckily, her son was wearing his.
Yeah.
But it's just tragic.
Yeah. All right. So there are some things that are brewing when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement. The House Appropriations Committee announcing legislation that includes money to remove the names of Confederate leaders from all of our military bases. That is $1 million to rename roads and streets that have the names of Confederate leaders on it. There are 10 bases that have Confederate namesakes on them. This is appropriate, I think.
There's so many amazing war heroes that we have
that
should be recognized and have bases named after them.
And have no controversy.
Why we're clinging to this Confederate nonsense is just beyond me.
Because it's a part of history. It's a part of people's lives. It's a part of their history.
And I'm not saying to erase history. I think we need to all own up to what, you know, what happened in our country, in our history.
Well, what does that mean, though? Owning up to it and then taking action. We're in the here and now. You can't, you know, fixing blame doesn't fix the problem. We have real attitude problems now. And some of them, acknowledging what you've just said, are from the old way of thinking. But that doesn't bring us to the point we're at in the middle of 2020, where people have realized that enough is enough. There's a video from Syracuse, New York, that focuses on the movement as a result of all of this focus on the police around the country. I don't think people understand some of the jargon here. Defunding the police is about as stupid an idea, and even the phrase is inappropriate.
It's ridiculous.
Wrong label. Reallocation work. You want to tell us a story about what happened in Syracuse and why that's a fairly interesting example of what's going on, Victoria, here?
Yeah, the mayor of Syracuse, New York, held a city council meeting, and there was a man who testified. I think he's a professor at one of the universities there. And so he got up to speak his mind about the reallocating funds to the police. He asked the mayor, what is the percentage of police officers in Syracuse who live in the city of Syracuse? And the answer was about 1%. And he said, so essentially what you're telling us is we are paying the salaries, all the money that we pay to the police officers in Syracuse. They then take their salaries and pay their taxes, not to the city of Syracuse, but they pay their taxes in suburban white neighborhoods outside of Syracuse, when Syracuse as a city, like many, many cities across the country, has some serious issues with infrastructure and poverty and the lack of programs and all the money that is essentially his point was, why are we not hiring? And this happens in cities across the country, in New York City as well. This is in Manhattan and Brooklyn, and you know, this is another argument that's been made for years that. And essentially, it's because the police aren't paid enough to, and fire departments and EMTs, they're not paid enough to live in the communities that they serve. And so that's a big part of the problem. And so, you know, but funneling all that money, including the pension, he said basically we're funding the suburbs and we're getting nothing out of it. We're not getting anything from it from our taxpaying dollars. And
it's
not wrong.
It goes beyond that. It's deeper than that. That's a bit superficial.
It's a lot. That's one argument about it.
Well, but the deeper part of this, Victoria, is that understanding the culture of where you live where you work is an important part of the job. So what better way to inculcate one's understanding of the neighborhoods or the city than to live there? And it's not necessarily something to be mandated, although a lot of police, I know on our location here, there was, but it was changed because they couldn't get people from Framingham to apply for the job of police, because once again they don't get paid enough. Framingham is a fairly expensive place to live, and so
happens everywhere.
You know, they bent the rules, and it doesn't work. So if you want to be a policeman, then you know a lot of them in the culture of being a police, they live it, they breathe it, they talk about it all the time, the blue this and the blue that. So if you really want to be a police officer and you want to be effective and you want to be good at your job and you want to have a long career, then it seems to me one of the things in the reform, the reallocation of focus of police, is to make it easy for you to live in the community. And that means that you should be paid. There ought to be a median of this is the income level in our community. And police ought to find, and public servants ought to find somewhere in there a mean or median income. And that's what they should be aiming for, to pay these people. And in turn, if they're going to pay them that much better, they need to live in the city. They need to know about the culture of the city. Plus is if you grew up in the city, you know, all of those sorts of things. And we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten our heads wrapped around that. But hopefully that's where it's going to go, because that's where, in my opinion, it needs to go. You know, this is not going to be a superficial whitewash, pardon the pun, of how, you know, okay, so, excuse me, we'll pay a little attention for now, we'll pat people on the head and rub their stomachs, and everything will be fine. No. And that goes for teachers in the community. Not a lot of people are putting the same emphasis on education in the public school system as they are the police. In my opinion, that is very wrong, wrong-headed, wrong-thinking. The school systems are as much of a mess as the police are. They're not doing the job.
In many cases,
there's failures.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the teacher. Yeah. I was reading, you know, San Francisco is a notoriously expensive city, not the most expensive city in America to live. And they lose between 500 and 1,000 teachers every year just because the teachers can't afford to live where they teach.
Yep. Yeah.
They keep moving further and further out.
Got to deal with it. Sports news. Sports at Ivy League schools not resuming this fall because of the obvious. The Ivy League Conference made the announcement this week. In a statement, the president of the council wrote, quote, "We simply do not believe we can create and maintain an environment for intercollegiate athletic competition that meets our requirements for safety and acceptable levels of risk." So this impacts all the football, the basketball, the soccer, cross-country, track, a bunch of other sports.
Which also means no March Madness, probably, because if you don't have any basketball, then how do you get to March Madness?
Athletes be allowed to continue training under regulations specified by their particular institution. They won't lose a season of eligibility. Conference says it hasn't ruled out the possibility of moving fall sports to the spring. I don't know what that does to the culture of all of it, but again, the world is a scary place, according to some, and you're nervous about the future. Maybe you turn that around and put yourself in the present and understand why they're making these decisions for the good of all, and grow from that. Look forward to the changes that will take place. I thought it was very interesting. There was a powerful show of support for Black Lives Matter in the soccer leagues this week. The Montreal Impact was wearing the coach of the team wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt, took a knee for 8 minutes and 45 seconds when they were playing against the New England Revolution. I think that's the time that the police officer held his neck, right? George Floyd's neck down?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you expect not to see this. There's the culture of what goes on in these various communities is going to play into pretty much all aspects, every aspect of their life and our lives. So kind of, like, get used to it. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I got to get used to it. It's National Pina Colada Day.
Like,
what's
a
pina colada? Frosty, creamy concoction of pineapple and rum, coconut cream. First created in Puerto Rico in 1954. You like pina coladas?
They're too sweet for me. You would love them. Yes,
I think you would love it. As a matter of fact, I think Jennifer made me one once. And I thought, if I drink that sweet stuff, I'll just drink it like I'm drinking a bottle of orange juice or something. And
you'll be ripped.
Right there. Gonzo. Yeah, right. Among the history. Well, the Puerto Ricans are not sure they agree, but there was the bartender Ramon Monchito Marrero who first prepared it at the Caribe Hilton's Beachcomber Bar. Apparently, there was somebody else, but anyway, that was 1954. Hotel had requested that the bartender mix a new signature drink that embodied the flavors of the island. And that's where it came from, the Pina Colada. So in television news here, The Crown is going one more season, and then it's going to be the end of the road for that. I think that's been pretty, very successful, hasn't it? One of those things, like, has it been as successful as Downton Abbey? No, but still very successful. So that's it.
Oh, I don't know. The numbers might actually.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hey, self-reliance gardeners. Now that you've got your crisis garden planted, the next step is to make sure all your vegetables are going to grow like crazy the rest of the summer. For that, you'll need an all-natural, full-spectrum plant food that works to not only maximize nutritional uptake for you and your family, but is also guaranteed to make your fruits and vegetables actually taste better. The name of the product is ProtoGrow, a proprietary blend of bioactive superfoods for plants designed to produce rapid plant growth in record time, so much so that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It does this by combining powerful trace elements and micronutrients from seaweed extracts with a balanced blend of macronutrients from cold water fish. The result? Vegetables grow faster than ever because they now have the essential bioavailable nutrients they need. Go to growlikecrazy.com to learn more. Huge summer discounts now available. growlikecrazy.com.
Past the hour, it's Tech Talk. I'm Doug Steffen with Victoria Keelan, an overview of the top 5 stories this past week from the world of technology, which is one of the many things that Victoria focuses on. So let's count them down, Victoria, from number 5 to number 1. Number 5, a new acquisition for Uber.
Yeah, this is a big one. So less than a month after Uber tried and failed to buy Grubhub, the meal delivery, restaurant delivery service, they have actually gotten a win in their column. They are buying Postmates for $2.65 billion with a B. That's a big acquisition. And they say that Postmates is highly complementary to Uber Eats, which is essentially going out of business, but they're acquiring Postmates will be a bolster for that part of their business. And that's essentially where Uber drivers, when they don't have a passenger in the car, they deliver meals. So it's a twofold sort of business model. Postmates is, they were the first real meal delivery on-demand service out in the market. However, they've been really surpassed by DoorDash and Grubhub. And so now Postmates really only accounts for about 8% of meal delivery sales in the U.S. But Uber's hoping that they will up that greatly by combining their businesses. So it's they have about, you know, I mean, look, this is a huge business. Meal deliveries right now is a huge
Isn't
business.
Amazing.
I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. So it's a good buy for Uber. They're trying to stay in that game, so this is the best way for them to do it.
Number 4 is a focus on everybody's favorite company to dump on, with good reason, Verizon. Where are they going with Fios here?
Verizon Fios already offers new customers a free year of Disney Plus service, but now they're adding in Hulu subscriptions. So if you sign on for 2 of their more expensive plans, the $59.99 per month, 400 megabytes per second plan, then you get 6 months of free Hulu in addition to your free year of Disney Plus. And the new gigabit Fios customers, which is $79 a month, you get a full year of both Disney Plus and Hulu. And so they'll also throw in a free router rental and a free Verizon Stream TV set-top box. So all of that together is a pretty good deal. I guess right now, obviously, everyone is very dependent on internet. If you're working from home or if you're helping your kids do their distance learning from home, internet service, people are shopping around for the best deal. We also have to take into consideration the incredibly high unemployment numbers, and so people are really looking for the best deal possible. So this is why Verizon's trying to sweeten the pot.
Couple of items from Amazon, number three and number two. First, a focus on Prime Video, yes?
Yep, this is a good thing. Amazon Prime Video, once again, everybody's home, all the family, you know, the whole family is home, they're doing school, and everybody's working from home. And so Amazon has rolled out, very similar to Netflix and HBO Max, they're rolling out up to six different user profiles for each Amazon Prime Video account. And this is a good thing because parents can keep track of what their kids are able to see. And so just like on Netflix, you have a different account for everybody, different profile, and the parents can limit the amount of screen time. They can limit what their kids are watching. It can be tailored to your individual interests. It will, similarly to Netflix, it will suggest things for you to watch based on other things that you've seen. So it's they're taking a page out of Netflix's playbook, but I think it's a good move.
All right, and this Amazon Marketplace info, this is something that I find very helpful, actually.
Yes.
What's going on to change here?
Yeah, Amazon is going to start publicly listing the names and addresses of U.S.-based third-party sellers on their platform. This is in an attempt to, number one, be more transparent, because a lot of consumers on Amazon want to know, where is this company based? Is it based in China, especially? That's a question a lot of people are asking. Where is this stuff made? Where is it coming from? And so Amazon is going to help fight that good fight by making it more transparent. Now, this is only U.S.-based retailers. So for right now, if you are searching for products on Amazon and you want to make sure they're made in the USA, you have to do a little bit of digging. This will be easier. But if you're buying something that's from an international company, there's still no transparency there. And that's the next step that I think Amazon really should take.
All right. Number one, the top tech story of the week is a focus on TikTok.
Yep, TikTok, the very, very popular video sharing platform, is in the has been in the news all week, and the reason for it is owned by the Chinese. It's a Chinese owned app. However, they have a U.S.-based CEO, an American CEO. TikTok has said that they have hundreds of employees and leaders across, you know, the country that are in the U.S., but Mike Pompeo is going after them, saying that, you know, he wants to shut down TikTok. So we'll see where it goes, but it's going to be a big battle.
All right, so there it is, top five stories this week. The charts from the world of technology. Tech Talk, Victoria Keelan, Doug Steffen.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.